This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
David, that's one of the three cases we're going to be talking about this morning, along with Nancy Guthrie and the Duggars. It's Monday morning, and typically when we do Monday mornings, it's a Q&A. It's you guys dropping your questions, so do so in the comment section on Substack, on YouTube, on Facebook, on X, wherever you're watching us. We'll try to get to them. Also, I went through and looked at the questions you guys have been asking on our YouTube about these cases. And that's where we're going to begin today, with some of your questions on the case. No real specific direction or specific area or theme we're taking this here this morning. We're just diving into the things you guys are thinking about in these cases and doing our best to break it down to help us do that. My co-host, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, is with us. His latest book, It's Not All About Me, and it's available wherever you get books. So go and check that out.
And I'm going to jump in because I wasn't here on Friday, and Tony knows, and Ty, why I'm beaming, because I had positively the hands down best weekend of my life. My daughter got married on Saturday.
Yes.
And it was perfection, absolute perfection, because I got to be dad, and there's no better role in the world with my amazing daughter, my new son-in-law, which I adore the family. It's amazing the shift you have in your mind when they become family. So it's been a great behavioral observation for me on myself as well.
Well, good. I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad it was a wonderful weekend for you.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw the pictures over the weekend, and all. It was just. I'm so happy you had a great weekend. I'm so happy your daughter has you as a dad.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. And paving the way for you and your daughter as she grows and keeps maturing as well. So yes. We're getting good reps in. Good reps.
Yes.
As well as covering true crime and studying up on for this over the weekend.
Exactly. So let's dive into to David. And like I said, your questions in the comment section, so feel free to drop them in here. We'll launch here with this one today. Why would you order two chainsaws? It's always the start of a good question. Why would you order two chainsaws, plus body bags, burn cage, inflatable pool, etc., under a fake name, unless you had help or an accomplice? A lot of people are kind of going down that lane of asking why you'd order all of these things together under a fake name, or if you had an accomplice. Robin, why don't you start there? What's your thoughts on that?
The first thought is, this is the stupidest man alive.
Yes. Why would you order all that at once from the same place unless you're an idiot? And I think the answer is, you're an idiot. I mean, David's an idiot. I mean, that's really the long and short of it, is someone with not a lot of reps in murdering people. So that's probably a good thing.
But go to the question of, was there an accomplice, not accomplice? So I think the important, there's so many little nuances, I think, to go down the road of that we don't know the data on yet. So definitely looks to be innocent until proven guilty, premeditated in probably the most obvious ways we've ever seen in any case, right? Shows intent, shows methods, techniques, all the things that you wouldn't normally see in any case, unless you were dealing with a complete buffoon. But it's interesting on the two chainsaws thing. First of all, chainsaws to begin with is like the dumbest thing ever as well. But, you know, I mean, the splatter, getting up DNA after that mess. I mean, you were dooming yourself to begin with after all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what I'm really curious about, that my mind just goes weird ways when I see things like this, probably differently than everyone else. I didn't think accomplice. I thought, did he get two different kinds of chainsaws, thinking one would be better than the other? That's a possibility as well. You know, like,
let's leave two reviews. Well, compared to this one,
the DeWalt one
seems to really get through human connective tissue better than the other.
Was one a gas operated, one electric? Plug-in. I mean, the blade size. I mean, because so seriously, if you look at his reps, you look at his background, this is where it's also the dumbest thing ever. That's why it poses the question, was someone else involved? Because what do you think the likelihood of him ever starting a chainsaw in his life was?
That's a good question. Probably so again, slim to nil. Yeah.
No, yeah. So there's a lot to be unpacked just with the chainsaws alone, with the mindset of the moron.
Well, I the mindset of the moron. That sounds like it could be the title of a podcast. Mindset of the moron. A true crime podcast.
New to Hidden Killers. New to True Crime Today. Mindset of the moron.
With Robin Drake. I think we got it. I think we got it there. That doesn't make me think about accomplice when I hear that. I mean, it just makes me think he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. It makes me think maybe he clicked two on the cart and then suddenly two things show up. You're like, I didn't order two. And you go back and look at your phone. Oh, shit, I ordered two. You know, I've done that before when I'm ordering chainsaws after murdering people. It happens all the time.
And also, so let's try our best. We've never tried. I mean, we've gotten into doing thought experiments with some pretty creepy, wacky people. But this one's a little more unusual because we got to really dumb ourselves down a lot here. Mm-hmm. And so, given his methodology, here's another potential thing of why he might get two, because maybe he thought if he only cut half the body up with one and then use the other, he could hide one, and so he wasn't totally a culpable for the entire body. I don't know.
I don't know what the thought process is.
I don't either. That's why, yeah. I mean, it's hard.
Here's what he could have done. And I'm not trying to give, I think you can't really do this anymore because I think the window has certainly closed on this. But if he wanted to try and do something to show, no, I didn't order these for cutting her up, he should have gone and done a music video with the chainsaws and the burn cage. And no, it was, I bought them for props. My videos are already macabre.
The body bags.
Look at the history of my videos. They're all dark and macabre. It actually checks out. It would if he had gone and made a music video using those things. And
I don't like that you said this, man. You just gave defense an entire line of defense on this.
I know, I just did. But he didn't. He didn't use them, so it doesn't land because he didn't go and use them. So
But could he be composing music behind bars now that actually fits that narrative?
It was a good deal. It was Amazon Day, and he had the guy buy the chainsaws at 15% off. You know,
I hate that we're laughing because there's victims in this. But
I
man,
know, but
he
I'm,
got
I'm
it on
wondering.
Prime Day, I know.
I'm wondering if that was, you know, because I don't put it past David to have that in his line of thinking either. Because if there's no empathy and you're able to do this, you really would be motivated more so by 15% off than the fact that you're chopping up a 13-year-old. You'd be like, oh, good sale. because the empathy is not there. It's just immediate what benefits me line of thinking. And that's that he would respond to that probably if he did this.
And I also wonder if Amazon delivery guys get any after action training after things like this to note if you're delivering things like this.
Well, you don't know what you're delivering. I mean, it's all in the boxes. I mean, sometimes
I mean, you get stuff sometimes in the mail that it's just a package with a label slapped on it. When you see, I mean, probably the body bags are probably in a box. But if you see, you know, one day you're delivering body bags to Julio Iglesias is his cover name, you know, at the same address as two chainsaws come in, a pool and some rubber gloves or something. You're like, uh-oh.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Maybe I should tell my boss.
Suddenly the lyrics to All the Women I've Loved Before land differently.
You know, I mean, if you're going to be a true crime aficionado, the thing to do is be an Amazon delivery guy because you'll see some creepy shit.
Well, yeah, I mean that and working the checkout at Home Depot. I mean,
know. Who did that one?
Several. Brian Walsh is the one I think you were thinking of. Yeah. I mean, because
That's right. Walking out with a shopping cart.
It's a lot like that. I mean, I that'd be a great question if we ever talk to somebody that's in like the, like in Walmart or Home Depot or Amazon, in their security area, because they all have, huge security divisions.
I got an Amazon distributor right down the road from me.
Yeah, I have a friend that worked for, I don't know if he's still, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but he was in Walmart security and for this sort of stuff. So I wonder, it's a good question. Maybe someone out there who is in this could answer this question and you can answer it in the comment section. Are there any red flag things in place through any of these systems? And it's probably respective of the company. if somebody does decide to buy like two chainsaws, a pool, body bags, an incinerator, and
yeah, God knows what else,
like what flags it, like what does it take? Is it like three items in a row that kind of make the recipe for murder? That
behaviors
like,
generally go in clusters. You're always looking for clusters of behaviors, yeah. And generally three makes a cluster. And I would think that the Fentanyl cluster would be the incinerator. What do you need an incinerator for?
Well, and the thing is, even if you have that sort of system in place, what do you do with the information? It's not illegal. Do you notify the police? Hey, by the way, this guy's buying all this stuff.
Here's something interesting. So this actually goes to, I recently asked to be a spokesperson for a new hotline that was put up last summer, and it was the National Violence Protection Hotline.
You were on Fox the other week about this.
Yeah, okay. It was. And so what this hotline's designed for is not after the fact, not during the fact of something going on. This is actually a hotline for either the individual themselves, like these students that have been telling their parents, I feel these horrible things, I'm going to go to school and shoot people up that we saw. Mm-hmm. It's actually for them that feel compelled and don't know have anyone to reach out to, as well as people in the surrounding people that are loosely affiliated, bystanders, family, whatever it is, you know, like in the Nick Reiner case, if he was at the party that night. It's a hotline to call to talk it out and pass it on to someone without being passed on to law enforcement that actually can mitigate it, talk about it, and through them pass it on to law enforcement, appropriate things or counsel, whatever it requires. To be that buffer zone so you don't feel like you're diming out a neighbor or you're going crazy or is this real? So it's a really good new hotline just for that. So it's I can't remember the phone number for it, but it's National Violence Prevention Hotline, and it's .org.
Anyway, okay.
That's the digression there. So that's the answer to the, you know, who do you call if you see a cluster of things that are odd? You can call that, believe it or not.
Todd, if you would look up that number.
Or reach out to us.
yeah. I'd be good to put that out there. Let's go to another David question here. Was someone in David's inner circle supposed to dispose of the body while he was on tour, but backed out and just left it in the Tesla? I wonder. I mean, that's an interesting thought process because according to the DA, according to the state and everything that they've already released, and they've released a lot, they said the last person driving the vehicle was David, that he was the last person on security footage. And they didn't specify of the footage if it was from the car or if it was from an outside camera. It could have been either. I mean, in the Hollywood Hills, there's cameras everywhere. So whatever they have, it's him getting out of the vehicle, parking it there. Robin, was he that stupid? Did he just think it's going to sit there and nobody's going to do anything? Or do you think there was a second person in his circle that did have the responsibility of, okay, you're going to move this, you're going to go handle this, and then when push came to shove, he's on tour, they're like, yeah, I'm out.
So my thought process on this is, it's hard to imagine, granted, who knows, right? But it's hard to imagine that everyone in his inner circle thought like he did. Because he is an abhorrent abomination of a pile of genetic coding.
that's a nice one.
Dude, I'm rolling on Monday morning.
I'd like to use that.
That's a good one.
Abhorrent abomination of genetic coding. Oh, yes. I love that.
Because I didn't want to even call him human, right?
That's a nice rip somebody down to the soul.
Yeah. You're just a pile of genes, man.
Yeah.
Some atoms. Anyway. So he is so singular, I think, in that belief system. Again, they are around the world, around the country. We cover cases like this, but have a cluster of more than one around him in the same location, slim to none.
Yeah.
Now, are the sycophants surrounding him that are getting that celebrity notoriety, being in presence, you know, and that we see in all these celebrity effects? Yes. And so now here's a thought experiment I had when I was thinking about this question. He does dark music. He has dark lyrics, and that's part of his brand. And so he's probably surrounded by a bunch of people that are very much yes people, very much positive affirmation people, because that gets their boss their notoriety, it helps marketing, and it helps them stay employed. And so he might have been dropping hints or dropping suggestions or talking about, you know, you back me up on all my stuff I'm doing, right? You're there for me, right, buddy? That kind of stuff. Until you actually see what the buddy's actually asking you to do. And then you're like, what the F? Mm-hmm. And so my guess, again, pure conjecture, innocence proven guilty as well, that when it came that people were just mouthing off, oh yeah, man, I got your back, until he actually presented them with, I need help with this. And they're like, because when you look at the limited data we have of the grand jury and how people flipped on him after that grand jury, you're like, yeah, when the push came to shove and it was actually seen, you know, because they could do plausible deniability with the age of Celeste, mm-hmm. That they're rationalizing to themselves where they're not, they don't want to, you know, don't ask, don't tell kind of stuff. But when it came to this, that is way too far for them to have plausible deniability of pools, incinerators, and chainsaws and a body that's been dismembered or need help disposal of. So I think he might have had the intent of involving others or thought he was safe involving his right-hand henchmen until they are actually witnessing what that actually involved. And then it was like, don't ask, don't tell, and run away from this nut show. So you know, that's just a thought experiment.
Yeah. Another question that we've been getting a lot, and I wonder as well, too, because it feels like there's a lot of potential people involved here that should probably be facing charges at the very least, in some way, shape, or form. Why is the FBI not involved yet in this case? And it's interesting, and some of our listeners have pointed it out, like, this is, there's all the ingredients in the recipe to do it, minor across state lines or internationally, if in fact he did take her to London. You know, all of that. I mean, this is, I mean, you're with a, harboring basically a runaway, harboring a minor, and S, you know, there's S involved as well, according to the charging docs and such. FBI has full jurisdiction to jump in here. What are your thoughts?
Yes, we could, but I looked this up specifically also for LA County. We could, well, the FBI, I say we could, the FBI could retire many years. But typically what happens is these types of cases are typically handled by state and local jurisdictions. Murders are typically hired at that lower level because they are. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it can't be, but what typically happens is whoever starts an investigation and has the statutes that are in place and actually has the investigation underway, and there's no need to involve the Bureau on anything, they won't, because the Bureau typically provides himself as a resource for local and state investigations on many things. If we find out about something first, here's kind of an analogy or a thought experiment on it. If the FBI, for some reason, uncovered David, accused and innocent until proven guilty, and Celeste, that there was a murder after having found out about it because of a National Crimes Against Children task force that the FBI was running, and they had the case on that first, and this was incident to that case, the likelihood of the FBI maintaining this as lead was probably pretty high, because mm-hmm. they were already investigating something at that FBI level, and this became another offshoot from that investigation. But since those things became ancillary to the original crime of a homicide inside California, where they took lead. Granted, could the FBI come in? Yes, but is there need to? No, not at this time.
Robin, can I ask something? What if we find out that there's more people involved as far as underage people, and they're in different states? Would that bring the FBI in at that point?
I would say that the FBI, the FBI would be brought in because of that, because again, the resources for exploitation of children is huge in the FBI. The task forces involved with that are very, very large, sweeping, not just FBI, but FBI typically takes lead with DHS and other law enforcement agencies at the federal level, because it's not just national, it's international with these things. And so, if we saw a trafficking web of not just of mm-hmm. children themselves, but the information of them as well, you know, like the photos and all that on through the dark web, the likelihood of them coming in is high. But also, but on the murder side, I would beg to think the LAPD would stay high. And it's a good question for Koff on this one as well.
Yeah.
I would still think LA is going to hold lead on. And here's why. If it was a smaller police department, a small local jurisdiction, the likelihood of the FBI calling in and asked to take lead might be higher. But LAPD with homicides and them handling this kind of investigation, their reps in this are very, very strong. Their investigators, their detectives are very strong. Their prosecutors are very good, are very strong. So I think if it became an issue, kind of like in Savannah Guthrie's case, well, Nancy Guthrie's case, there might be more of a push for it, and there's a justification for it, but I just don't see it as a necessity right now. But could they? Absolutely.
Could it change? Yeah, I mean,
it could change.
Yeah,
I don't see it changing. I see it, and again, it'll be interesting what they know about what allegedly David has on his cell phone. And
yeah.
They know they have lots of child S material on there. But if it's all related to Celeste, I'm not sure how much they're going to spread out from just the one investigation.
If he was sending that material to somebody outside of California.
Yeah, again, it's going
to... Because let's say he was sending it to somebody in Montana. Or Ohio, or wherever. Insert another state here, insert another person here generically. And it's going to another state, and then that person has that material. And I don't know what they do with it. I don't know if they keep sending it places or what. But the fact that it goes to another state, is it California's jurisdiction then to go after somebody in that other state that has the material? Is that person, and this is probably more of a Bob question, is that person who received it, are they guilty of a crime for having it?
Yes.
But it was sent to, let's say it was just sent to them.
If they have it in their possession, they're potentially guilty, yes.
But what if, okay, so if somebody gets, walk me through this. Let's say you're one of David's buddies, and David sends you a picture, an explicit picture of Celeste, who is a child. You didn't ask for it, you didn't want it, it just text shows up. What the fuck is this? Is going to the authorities, I mean, that I think would probably be number one, the first thing you should do. If you don't immediately go to the authorities going, this person sent me this, here's the rest of my device, you can check it and make sure, and you can see I have nothing, I did not anything to do with this shit. Other than that path, Is that what would make someone? Because you can't just be guilty of the crime if you're someone sending it to you. You didn't want it. You didn't do anything with it. You're like, what the fuck? I mean, that's you get an email from somebody.
What they would do is, so say you're the unwitting receiver of garbage, right?
Yeah.
Here's one thing I do love about the law. There's lots of things I love about the law, but one thing that is always predominant that I'm always saying in all these situations is reasonable. The law is reasonable as well. So if you reasonably get some garbage from David that's got illicit pictures on it, a reasonable person will look at it and delete it. And you'll be able to show it on your phone that you deleted it and you didn't keep it, save it, or anything else. If you start doing that with one image, well, technically, you've just committed a crime because you're maintaining illicit material on your device, right?
Uh-huh.
But typically, if this is like the only thing you have, that's, again, I'm going down how to make the sausage on this. I'm not saying what they would or wouldn't do.
Sure.
What would happen is that if you have a low-hanging fruit that maintains a few images, one or two, on your phone that you're sent by this dude, you're not trafficking it, you're not passing along, you're not involved in any of the things, here's what typically happens. The FBI or local law enforcement come knocking on your door and say, hey, I understand you got some stuff on your phone there. Here's a subpoena. Give me that phone. Now, I'll tell you what. You want to go to jail or do you want to cooperate?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, because what typically happens in these cases is you want to uncover the network and the hub of that virus. Mm-hmm. Because if you have one human being trafficked that you're aware of, the likelihood of you at least getting about 400 others in a network is very, very high.
Yeah.
Because that's what we saw when I was working with the Innocent Lives Foundation is... One exploited child is typically, if you can actually uncover that network, it's going to leave you to at least 400 other children and all the people that were involved in that. I don't know to what extent David was involved in that, or was it just targeting this one poor little girl?
And I don't know, what are the stats on that? Are there stats on that of someone who is doing this? I mean, the other person that comes to mind is the Soto, Maddie Soto and Stefan Stearns.
That wasn't his first rodeo.
Not yeah, and his phone that had a bunch of stuff on it.
But he was older.
He was. the thing with it, though, is, you know, that was parallel crimes as well. There was the material and the exploitation and all that. And then there was the murder as well.
Yes.
This and what kind I meant of the by same old, sort of thing.
What I meant by older is he had more lifetime of reps of having that disease in him take hold and let it fester.
Sure. And so, I'm not so there sure would have been more time period for him to have done this over decades, you know, versus
in other words,
David's.
Was this David's first? Was it his second? Yeah. Was it third? Or was it first of a couple in that time frame? So I think that's what but they're going to know that because this guy's an idiot. You know, so whatever's on that cell phone, we're either going to find out at the trial or if he pleads, we might never know.
I guess, like, how frequently is it that people are taking images like that and sharing them? If it's like of I don't take naked photos as an adult. Like, I've never been a you know, let's send each other like photos. You know, I don't do that. Period. Never have, never will. Well, but so I don't know, like, what the, like, do people hold on to these? Do they send? I mean, if you're a predator and you're doing this thing with kids, I mean, how often? I mean, you're already pushing the line of, like, well, it's not acceptable at all. So, but then how often are they just holding onto them for themselves, I guess, is the question.
Yes.
And not sharing it with their birds of a feather.
Well, they're doing it all because it's a demented brain disease. It's a sickness and an addiction, because once you get one and you're no longer to be satisfied from one, I'm going to relate it to alcohol just because I can't even think about it with the kids. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so the hit you got and the dopamine hit you got from the one, well, I got to drink a little bit more because I kind of got used to that. And so you're going to keep escalating. And then, you know, you go to a bar because bars got different things here. I'm going to go to this bar and then I'm going to start bar hopping. And then I'm going to get such an addiction that I can't really let it be seen. If I keep going to the same liquor store to keep getting the bottles, they're going to start thinking and suspecting me. So I'm actually going to spread out the liquor stores I keep buying all my shit from. Then I'm going to start storing it all over the house just in case, right? So this is the same thing. Once they go down this road, that's why all these cases, there are terabytes of information. And so you just don't know where he was on this journey of where they said they got a lot, but if it's only Celeste now, it definitely would have been more later.
Yeah.
And is what they do is they take it, they collect it, they go on the dark web, and that, because then they make exchanges on the dark web, because that's where the FBI and law enforcement lives, is on the dark web, on these anonymous chat chains that they exchange all these things. And what great organizations do is they actually have software for the investigators of this that'll automatically blur out the images, so they can actually go on here, do the deep research without actually compromising this. Because even as investigators, you'll have immunity to a certain point, but even not there. So they actually have specialized software. They can actually trove it. That actually blurs out the images. It's pretty intense what they do. But these people are suffering massive issues in the brain, and it's never just one image with one person. No.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question? I kept cutting you off on that.
No, that answers it. I mean, it makes, I mean, I'm kind of like putting the pieces together in my head of, so I mean, that's how these networks work. That's why these people share this shit, is because it's easier than, I guess, procuring it themselves, because all the monsters are procuring it their own ways, then they can share their shit, and that's how it feeds, I guess.
Oh my God, I can't believe we're talking about this. It starts with just some images, and then you exchange images, and then that's enough. And then you're with some creepy dumbass MFers on there that are teaching you. Well, you know, it's just easy if you just talk to this person here.
God.
The longer they're around, the more damage and intrusive, horrendous things happen. Look at Epstein. Look what he did. Yeah. You don't catch me the first time. Well, that means I can do it more. So they start living in these echo chambers of self-protection. They feel safe. How many times in all these cases, you know, of some of these celebrities, do you see these people feeling so entitled because they form their own nations around them of people that are sycophants, of people that just want to be involved in this and that they are self-protecting? And when you feel like you're shielded because you're the center or even an epiphany on this, oh, they won't go after me because they'll get so first. And I'll know, because then they get arrogant. I'll have a heads up because someone will be taken down and I have my delete button here. I mean, just look at the Duggars. Oh, I'll bifurcate, you know, and we'll just talk about Josh, who's convicted us. I'll separate my hard drive. They'll never catch on to that. What a moron.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Well,
right?
and you also have, I mean, a fucked up dynamic there, too, where I just did a story on it the other day where not Anna directly, Josh's wife, but she had reposted or forwarded or something of that nature, allegedly, an email from a friend that said, you know, basically, what's going on? Like, we need a working Christian husband to be out there supporting the family. And besides, this was a victimless crime. On the images is what, and like, oh, so this, that tells you, and I don't know what Anna's thinking. This was an email that someone else wrote that she forwarded. I believe it was to Josh himself to build him up, you know, but if you're forwarding that, you know, this is how these people think about it. They think that the images are a victimless crime. That's how stupid they are. That's how dense and idiotic these morons, abhorrent aberrations of genetic coding think like that. Of these victims. I mean, it's insane. It really is, but when you operate that way, it certainly allows, I mean, it allows a lot of modality for weird ways of validating these things.
They're rationalizing their really broken brain by saying it's victimless because they're going to look at one microcosm. Look, I have a photo of this person here who has no idea I have a photo. So they're victimless. No. First of all, no.
Yeah.
And then third of all, what are you now doing? You now have stuff that's going to throw fuel on fires all over the place. And say, oh, I got one. I can get more. You can rationalize all you want about the one victim that will never know I have a photo of him. But you are propagating the disease of chaos and abhorrent, you know, genetic coding all over the place.
You are, you're being your own little mini Ghislaine Maxwell when that's the way that you're thinking, without a doubt.
And welcome to being a scourge of humanity, where we are the only species on this entire planet that takes pleasure in a sadistic, you know, violence against other human beings. Good job.
Be quiverful.
I'm rolling today.
Yeah, you are. All right, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube on the David case. We'd love for you to weigh in, and we will continue that conversation right there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.